The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on Still Just Fishing Show. This morning we got Captain Chris Nichols, got Ted Hartman,
hello,
Bill Denmark.
Hi.
Full house. Full house this morning.
Yeah.
Y'all doing all right this morning?
Doing great.
We are. Yeah.
Certainly.
Now that I'm out of that wind from yesterday.
And the cold.
Yeah, and the cold. And you know what's so funny when you're out there in that wind like that? Like, I know you're out there too, Bill. And when you get back in and you get in the truck, it is so quiet, you know, from that wind blowing through your ears all day. It is so quiet. It's like, you know, you relax a little bit.
Well, the guy I was with didn't have a windbreaking jacket with him.
Oh, man.
He toughed it out, but he'd never fished before. And I said, we're going to be going home in about 20 minutes, but he did good.
Oh, well. Yeah, because you stayed out there quite a while from what I saw. I don't know what time you came in.
About 2 o'clock.
About 2 o'clock?
Yeah.
Man, he toughed it out good because that wind was whipping.
Was it like a parking lot out there? Because I was going north on Mayport Road yesterday at 4:30, and it was like a steady stream of inshore skiffs.
There was a tournament.
Coming back. Okay. Yeah.
And it was kind of funny because, I mean, I didn't realize it was a tournament, you know, being Friday. You know, I mean, usually tournaments on Saturdays. And so anyway, I go up in the creeks, you know, and I go to the first spot I was going to go to, and there's a boat sitting there. I go to another spot, and there's a boat sitting about probably 150 feet from there.
So I
didn't want to get that close to him, you know, in the creeks and all. So then I go to the third spot, and there's a boat there, and I'm like, what in the world? This is Friday.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, so then I passed about 3 more boats going up to, you know, the spot that we first tried. And we tried that spot and didn't get a bite. Went to another spot and got a 27-inch red. And then went to another spot and got like a rat red, you know, that was about it, you know, but,
makes me wonder, were they all pre-fishing? Is the tournament actually?
It was a redfish tournament, but it was misleading because you pull into the launch ramp, there weren't that many vehicles.
They had a tournament on a Friday?
Yeah, but they had to go out of Mayport or Morningstar. So they all had to launch or leave from Morningstar Marina. So I said, and then, of course, they all look like radio antennas. They have, you know, stairs and shelves and patios up above the boat. They all have those observation towers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were all over the place. But
yeah, I should have got some more aluminum stock, right? Stock and aluminum.
There's a guy that has a ladder, and he's cut the front legs off to take care of, you know, where the step up is in the bow. So he puts the short legs up on the step up. Uh-huh. He has the legs of the ladder on the floor of the boat. And he bungee cords it in, and he's hooked up. He's ready to go.
Wahoo.
Well, we just built steps on on the trailer.
Yeah.
Because I can't get in it without some good steps. Got a boy. My son is working on some elevators for getting me up in there.
Could use a forklift.
Have you hadn't had a chance to use them yet, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Works great.
Good.
Sure does. It's just that rail that we put on there is a big help because I have to use it to pull myself up to the next step. You know, this leg doesn't hold my weight too good.
Yeah.
But it working all right. I might end up just keeping it on there.
Instead of the lift, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably be quicker.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to add another step, but the tongue wasn't long enough to get 4 steps on there, so.
Well, and you don't have a garage to put that in. You got like that cover, so you can actually extend your trailer, make as many steps as you want to.
Yeah, I was hoping to one day get a new trailer, aluminum one.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding. That would be nice.
And it put dual axles on it. This one, I think my boat, when I got it, it's the setup that was with it. So I don't think this boat really goes with that trailer.
Uh huh.
But it works. I mean, the boat's like a foot wider than the trailer on both sides.
Yeah, that's a beamy boat, that Polar.
Yeah, yeah. So
let's get to, I don't know if Captain Chip Wingo's got a charter or not, but he's on here, so let's get him on and see if he's right. You fishing today, Chip?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Morning, Chip.
Good morning, guys. I'm up in Georgia for the last weekend.
Oh, okay. This is your last hunting weekend, last, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, I was up in Savannah last Saturday. It's nice up there.
Yeah, the weather's... And I tell you, that wind and that cold wasn't fun this week, but, man, I tell you what, the pompano are all over the place again.
Are they really? And,
huh.
Yeah. Caught them up in Sisters Creek last week, and I guess that was Tuesday. It was a beautiful day. A lot of trout, but the pompano, I was like, I've never caught them up inside there. But they're big, beautiful pompano, too. So,
what was the water temperature up in there?
I think it was right around, I want to say I had 63.
Yeah.
It was 58 yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow, it dropped that much?
Oh, yeah.
Was it clean and clear?
It wasn't, I would say it was about 5 foot.
Okay.
At the back.
Yeah.
You know, but still that stained amber.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it is over in my area.
Yeah, I've caught the pompano over there by Fort George Inlet before over there, but I haven't caught them like right in the intercoastal.
Yeah, well, this was north up in the intercoastal, pretty much in the middle between the ramp at Sisters Creek and Nassau Sound. So, you know, it was kind of funny because we were trying to find the fish that morning on a high tide. You know, and the tide just seemed to go out and out all day. It never really seemed to get low. But, you know, 6 foot of water was the magic key, magic number. So, you know, didn't catch many reds that day, but caught, you know, pompano, trout, black drum, and sheephead. So I was really surprised. But, you know, I'm really amazed at how many sheephead we caught this week inside. I had a 4 and a 7 pounder down in the valley in 14 feet of water. And, you know, it was one of those days where we were catching a lot of little fish. And I was like, well, I'm going to go deep and see if I can catch some bigger fish. And sure enough, they're there. You know, if you know spots that have like a shelly bottom in deep water, they seem to be holding really well on it. But, you know,
is that what was holding the pomps there too?
Where I was fishing for the pomps is more of a sandy, rocky bottom. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that.
If you'll run down the ditch in Sisters Creek and look for those shell bars, you know, I guess that was dredged. So if you'll find some of those areas and go out in a little bit deeper water, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8 feet of water. It seems like they're holding, especially right as the tide turns on the higher side.
Oh, okay.
So,
thanks for the tip.
We had a double hookup yesterday on some big sheephead up in off on one oyster bed, and it wasn't even 3 feet of water in there. And they were nice sheephead, and I mean it was just, you know, we had them both on at the same time. It's kind of weird, you know, to get them that quick together like that.
Hey, Chip, you remember that spot you and I went back in there in the back of Clapboard Creek and we got into those?
Yep.
I'd love to see what's coming out of there right now.
Yeah, there's been some nice sheephead in there.
Oh, yeah. Laura caught a huge one out of there.
Might be a good one to do.
I like to try it. I haven't been back in there in my boat yet.
Yeah, there's a good spot.
Uh-oh.
Dropping out.
Yeah, you're breaking out there, Chip.
Roger that. You guys have a great weekend.
All right, buddy. Appreciate the call this
morning.
Thanks
for the call, Chip.
And I guess you'll get to fishing more now that hunting's over with, huh?
In between hunts, yeah, I'll be on.
All right, buddy. I'll see you when you get back.
All right, guys.
All right, appreciate it.
See ya.
222-8255 is the number to give us a call. Give us a call if you'd like, and let us know if you've been out there this week or what you've been doing or what you're heading out there today for. We'll be back.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Hey boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterward? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423 and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
Endurance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Endurance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Endurance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and we was talking about the weather and stuff. I'm going to go over this. We got another cold front coming in. Imagine that. I saw the long-range forecast, too. They said after about the 21st to 23rd, we're going to start getting some real cold weather pretty steady this year.
That's what they said about 2 weeks ago. They were talking about that polar vortex thing again. I'm like, well, this is cold enough right now.
Yeah, it is. That's why I live in Florida.
Yeah.
But anyway, they got high pressure will be northeast of the area today. A warm front will lift over the region late today and tonight. An area of low pressure will track northwestward to the north region Sunday with an associated cold front crossing from west to east late Sunday. Behind this cold front, increased north winds or building seas are likely Sunday night through Monday, through late Monday. So you got today, east-southeast winds, 10 to 15 knots, these 3 to 4 feet. A slight chance of showers in the afternoon. Sunday, tomorrow, west-southwest winds, 5 to 10 knots, seas 2 to 3 feet at 5 seconds. A chance of showers in the afternoon. Monday, north winds 10 to 15 knots. That's where that wind's coming through. It's going to start Sunday night, 15 knots Sunday night. And then back down by Tuesday night, north winds 5 to 10 knots. You know, that north wind is such a cold wind. And it's like, you know, trying to do the fishing and all that yesterday in that wind. I don't mind a north wind. It's like 5 to 10 knots. But, boy, that was relentless yesterday. I mean, it was just... It would not slow down. you know, and it was kind of funny. I kept pulling up different forecasts, and it was showing 5 to 10, 7 to 11. One of them showed something like, I think it was 8 to 12. And then what was really funny, I pulled up Windfinder. Windfinder showed that it was going to be 7 to 11 knots, but currently blowing 14 with gusts of 17. I'm like, wait a minute. If it's only going to be 7 to 11, but it's currently 14 with gusts of 17, that was kind of messed up there. But
I guess it's not a...
I don't know who does Windfinder, but
I thought
it'd come off of Mayport Weather Station, you know, that new weather station in there. That's where I've got it. That's where I linked it to, you know. And so I thought that's where it was coming from, but I don't know.
I ain't got a leaf left on the tree now. I think that wind blew them all off.
I wish it'd blow all the leaves off my maple. I ran a bagger mower over that, ran a cub over it. It got rid of all the leaves, and I was like, oh, how pretty. Next day, about a quarter of them were back again already.
Yeah. So, Vic, if you keep looking at weather when you're out fishing like that, the wind report, is that like looking in the refrigerator for the food you know that isn't in there?
Yes.
It hasn't appeared yet?
I know. It's like I like to do that, though, to kind of see, you know, what they're saying the forecast is compared to what it really is, you know.
I usually just add 5.
Yeah.
If they say it's 10, I know it's going to blow to 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we went out to the jetties, it was kind of funny. We drove out there just to see, you know, I mean, we were planning on sheephead fishing out there, and I bought all these crabs to drum fish out there too and everything, and I thought, well, if we can't get to the drum where we usually do, you know, then I'll just come back in a little bit more and try to get, you know, where it's just a little swelly or whatever. There was just no fishing out there. and it was kind of funny, though. I saw, you know, the Marine Patrol's the Fish and Wildlife's offshore boat, and they didn't have their blue lights like it was an emergency or anything, but they were going out there, and they passed us right about the mouth of the basin, Mayport Basin. Mm-hmm. And we got out there, you know, about close to the red buoy before I turned around and came back, you know, because I was trying to find one of my favorite rocks and see if it was tall enough we could get behind, you know, block the waves. And they just kept on going right out the jetties out there, and let me tell you, it was nasty outside them rocks.
Oh, I can imagine.
It was nasty outside, just on the other side of the north rocks, because the waves were hitting, and it was like when I pulled over there, we would have been soaked just from the waves hitting the rocks and splashing up, and then the north wind blowing straight, you know, northeast wind blowing that water straight. I mean, I could feel the mist, and we were about 40 feet away from the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, we're going to get soaked if we get up there.
Yeah, and that was with the tide coming in, right?
Yeah.
So it should have been even. So
was,
I mean, it could have been worse.
Get worse and worse and worse. You know,
was that FWC that was chasing each other that day we were out there? Remember when they were chasing each other in those big boats out there in the river? And we were going, wow, what's all that about? And we the blue lights going, and they were chasing each other.
Hmm. Oh yeah, that's right. They were doing some sort of I think some kind
training
of
training thing.
Some kind of maneuvers in here. They had
they ain't scared to tip them boats, are they?
They had the police out there too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was, they had, if I remember right, there was a couple of St. John's County boats out there and Jacksonville Sheriff's Office along with FWC.
If they break it, they don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not coming out of their pocket
either.
Yeah.
Well, they had that boat leaning, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they go everywhere hammered down.
I was out there one day. They were doing maneuvers, and it might have been the same day. I don't remember, but where the helicopter was right over the boat.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the same day?
Yeah, there was a helicopter flew over there.
Yeah, there was one that was, like, right over top of the boat, and they were just kind of going up the river, you know, I guess kind of practicing maybe to pull somebody out of a boat or something, a moving boat or whatever. I don't know, but that was pretty neat.
Yeah,
there was a couple of them come out the other day to the Arlington ramp. I didn't know if there was something. I saw this monster Grady. I think it's called a 300 Marlin or something. Anyway, Cuddy Cabin boat, and it moored up at the end of the pier, and then FWC pulled up directly. Two officers. I thought it was going to be Officer Green. I see him out there a lot. But it was two guys that I'd seen before, but they just came out there, and they were talking to the Grady operators for quite some time. I don't know what the deal was, but they're, you know, I don't know whether they've got some more staffing, and but they're a presence. You don't have to go too far before you run into them.
Yeah.
Which is good, because there's a lot of poaching going on.
Yeah, there is. There always is. And just like he was talking about, people he saw, you know, keeping a whole bunch of small trout, you know, undersized trout. Yeah.
I caught 30 trout by myself, and there was four guys in the boat. They probably caught 100 trout. Mm-hmm. And when I finally got to where I could see them, they were keeping them all. I called the FWC, but they didn't get them.
They got an app now you can fill out and put pictures with it. It's called FWC Reporter.
Hmm.
And what you do is you take pictures of the boat, and you get the NFL numbers.
Gave them the numbers.
You attach them to the to that, and it sends them right over to the FWC.
Well, I couldn't really get pictures of them. They were catching them and like throwing them in the boat, like "oops, it got off the hook" kind of thing. They're trying not to
make it look too obvious.
Well, and I was trying not to be so obvious. I was horrified. You know, I mean, if they caught a fish and took it home, I probably wouldn't hate them. But these guys took home boatloads. They went to the dock twice while I was watching them.
They said
they were buying shrimp. It was ridiculous.
That really, really bothers me.
Yeah, I wasn't very pleased, because I caught 30 fish. Only three of them were legal. You know, and they were keeping everything.
Yeah, because I ran away from them one day. I had to go, you know, when I was pre-fishing for a triple. And I was like, okay, that's enough trout. I ran away from the trout trying to get away from him. And a guy,
right.
I my bubbles hadn't even gone out of my spot before this guy come up in there and anchored up. And an hour, probably about 90 minutes later, after I had already hit a couple other spots, every time I came around this one point and got an eye on him, he was right there, still doing like this here, slinging him in the boat. And he would just sling him in the boat and never saw one fish go back in. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so it does happen. I mean, we know it happens, and it's, you know, it's like when they keep those big bull reds. I mean, you know, it's so funny. You can watch somebody catch one, and they'll put him in the boat, and then they kind of look up and kind of look around a little bit, see if anybody's seeing him. You know what's going to happen then. You know?
But I'm entitled to this fish.
Yeah.
Chris and I were fishing. Well, what's even worse is they just throw it back in the water without venting it. And it's sitting there floating upside down.
Yep.
And his fins are doing like this, you know, and flapping, and he's gasping for breath. And we were headed over there to try to get the fish back, and somebody beat us to it, but they got it back. It took them a while, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because somebody said recently, I heard somebody talking about that issue. They said if you're one of the spotlight guys in it, you don't have to worry about pulling the hook. Just go get that fish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been on spotlight before, and, you know, and you see a fish floating, and you just, you know, pop up and go over there real quick, and you can come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, if you can vent those fish, I mean, a lot of times, you know, I mean, sometimes they don't need venting, but then, you know, revive them if they don't. But you can tell when they need venting. I mean, them things are, you know, they're pretty blown up, so you can tell.
I was talking to some guy at the ramp and we were talking about how, you know, getting old and achy and all that the day after. I said, yeah, after I lean over the side for 10 minutes trying to revive a redfish, I feel like I broke a few ribs. I'm like, man.
It's like holding one of them giant drum for a while, because you got to revive them. You can't torpedo them down.
They
like
take
a
while, don't they? Do. Yeah, they're a little more needy than
they are. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you can, they'll let you know when they're ready to go.
Boy, they do, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let go of my finger.
222-8255. Give us a call. Let us know if you're going out there today or tomorrow. I'm trying to make up my mind whether I'm going to call my guys for tomorrow or not. I don't know. There's another front coming through like that. Of course, that front may pass in the. If it passes early enough today, maybe this fish will, you know, start feeding again. But anyway, we'll be back right after this.
Talk Radio, AM 600. 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The federal government has entered day 22 of a partial government shutdown, becoming the longest closure in U.S. history. 9 of the 15 cabinet-level departments have not been funded. The previous record for the longest shutdown occurring during Bill Clinton's presidency. That one lasted from December 15th of 1995 through January 6th of 96. All administrations get some leeway to choose what services to freeze and what to maintain when a budget standoff in Washington forces some agencies to shutter. In the selective reopening of offices in the Trump administration, some experts and critics see a willingness to cut corners. In this case, the president says that he is standing his ground in the standoff. The budget stalemate could end at any time if Democrats would allocate some funding for his requested border wall. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow was down 6 points, NASDAQ off 15. More details at srnnews.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, January 18th at 7 p.m., the Jacksonville Symphony presents Amadeus at the Times Union Center for the Performing Arts. Saturday, January 19th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, January 19th from 2 to 5 p.m., it's the Winter Beach 5 and 10K Run at Jacksonville Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
WBOB is talk radio. There are a variety of ways to listen to WBOB. Streaming on the internet, on our mobile app, on 101.1 FM, and even on the AM dial. WBOB AM 600 is proud to broadcast all over the southeastern coast, from Georgia to Jacksonville to Orlando. No matter how or where you listen, WBOB is solid, reasoned talk radio. Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
That's the big question this morning. Where are the tie-ups? Roads looking good. No delays. As for the weather, going to be mostly cloudy today. Looking for a high near 68, 20% chance of showers. Overnight, mostly cloudy skies, a little bit of patchy fog. Lows of 58 for Sunday, partly cloudy or partly sunny, that is. More patchy fog, a 30% chance of rain. 54 at AM 600, WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain.
I'm proud. That was a... And we're back this morning on the Still Just Fishing Show. We got Chris on the line. Let's get him on. Morning, Chris.
Good morning. What's up, Vic? How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay. I'm in here where it's warm. Yes. Yesterday was a little chilly, so, you know, I'm glad to be in here where it's warm this morning.
Yeah, well, I'm just pulled up the Mayport ramp, and oh, my God, the red fishermen are here.
Oh, yeah. Must be that tournament.
Yeah, it is. They're backed up and parked and placed just about everywhere.
Wow.
I'm getting her way, though, because I'm going to drop the beast in.
There you go, Chris. You need some stickers, you know, for how many you bag.
Yeah. I might get a few.
Is this?
Chris.
I'm going to go do a little sheephead fishing my way today.
So hey, Chris.
I'm going to slide out the mouth, and that my fountain doesn't mind.
Are any of those boats, those redfish boats, three stories tall?
What's that?
Are any of those redfish guys, they reached the three-story level yet on those boats?
No, I don't see any of those, but, you know, every one of them's got a little bit of a platform or something built around the console to stand up on and have somebody standing there. I just, you know, for me, it doesn't look like they have anything to drive from there, so whoever's driving the boat is kind of looking at somebody else's butt, so I don't know.
If might not be a good view all day, huh?
Yeah, it may not be a good view.
But
not to mention you're downwind all the whole way.
Let's hope he didn't have, what's the worst one? Cold beer and boiled eggs?
Ruh-roh.
So you're going to go, you're going to plan on going outside the mouth today?
Yeah. I'm going to probably work some of the inshore rocks and wrecks for sheephead.
I sure hope it's calmer.
We usually do pretty good out there.
Yeah, I hope it's calmer for you, man.
Tournament's just about coming up on a month away, so
yep.
we got to play a little.
Yeah, March 9th. It'll be here before we know it.
It'll be here before we know it. We will. We got a good one planned for everybody this year. The boats are already in. They'll be on display here pretty soon going around the tackle shops. And, of course, Carolina Skiff steps up for us every year. They're a great sponsor. And the tournament's set. The prize structure is set. All the pamphlets are out. Everything's open for registration. And we moved it back another week to get out of the way of the Monster Truck Show, of course.
Yeah.
But looks like it's going to be a good tournament. Looks like we're going to have a good time this year.
It's always a good tournament. And Rob Darner called me last week and said that now y'all got for fourth place a trip to Belize.
Yeah.
And no sorrow.
Sam stepped up and sponsored that fourth place spot with a trip to Belize. So it's going to be really, really great.
Yeah.
He steps up the year after I win fourth place, right?
Well, and I was going to say, me and Mike got fourth place, several years ago, but, wasn't no prizes like this. I mean, that was long enough ago that we didn't, I think we got like $900 or something for fourth place. But
it'll be great this year. Last year I had the privilege of having the number one junior angler on the boat, and that's just fantastic.
That's great. Yeah.
You can't even make something up that's better than that.
Yeah, that's absolutely great. And so it's still $100. And what do y'all do after February the 17th? Is it go up just $20?
Yeah, it'll just go up $20.
Okay.
That's it after February 17th.
Okay.
But no matter how you look at it, you're still in there with a great, and that's why we call it the El Cheapo.
Yes, exactly. And cash of prizes awarded through 15th place, junior angler division, ladies division, kayak division, which is kind of fairly new.
All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have the, what is it, five mystery weight prizes?
Yeah, we have five mystery fish prizes, $100 each.
Yeah. And then special bonus prizes, it says here. But I know y'all going to have a heck of a raffle, too. You always do.
Oh, it's like a festival now.
It is.
The raffle's going to be fantastic. That's one of the things that I help with every year, as you all know.
Oh, yeah. And for everybody listening out there, you don't have to be in the tournament. Come out there and buy some raffle tickets. There are some wonderful raffles.
And get some vittles.
We'll be frying sheephead.
That's exactly right, man. And y'all do a great job out there. I've told Chris several times, y'all just do a great job out there.
Yeah, when it's real cold, it's nice to be in that tent, snuggled up to that fryer.
I'd like to, Chris, mention, too, that I was at the last meeting, and Trina opened up the inshore division part of the club, and I thought that was awesome.
Sir. We now have an inshore division part of the club, and as a lot of people know, the members, and a lot of people don't know, we hold 10 tournaments a year for the club, and those 10 tournaments go to a captain of the year. Well, we now, at the same time, we're going to hold our regular scheduled tournaments, we're going to hold inshore tournaments, and we're going to give an inshore captain of the year also.
All right.
That's good information, because I was wondering if it was just going to be included in the offshore, but that's great. You're going to have separate, you know, for
separate tournaments, separate fish classes. The weigh-ins will all be done together. And the guys like me, my boat doesn't know any way but east. I can't seem to get it to go west except when I'm going home.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I think, Chris, I'm real happy about it. I think it's really going to bump up the give the membership a kick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're hoping the same thing. You know, we've been around since 1959, and we plan on staying.
Well, and, you know, when the inshore, y'all going to have, like, where people can, you know, families can use bait and stuff like that, you know, also to be able to catch the inshore fish?
Absolutely.
Which is great. I mean, to me, you know, and I know the Florida Lures Anglers is a good club and all that, but, you know, when they have their lures only, you know, divisions and stuff, but, you know, when you get kids out there and some, you know, some females don't like to use lures, you know, so, I mean, you know, having an opportunity for people just to enjoy, you know, fishing tournaments and being able to use bait and all, that's just great. I'm glad to see the club do that.
Yeah, I've always been a jerk at one end waiting for a jerk at the other, so yep. I like my bait fishing. There's a two-course fiddler sitting in the back of my boat right now.
Well, I hope it calms down out there for you, because it was pretty nasty out there yesterday. It was pretty sporty. I mean, I went out to the jetties, and I got about to the red buoy on the inside of the North Rocks, and turned around and left. I mean, it was that bad inside the rocks, and outside it was just... Wow, it was terrible.
Chris, you got a full crew this morning?
Yes, sir, I do. I got members of the club, and I don't know if you guys know Willie Powell or not. Janet and Andres Womack and his wife. So I got a full crew this morning.
Good deal.
Well, good luck to you out there. Hopefully you get in on them, man.
Yeah. And, looking for Wahoo or...
No, sir.
Sheephead.
Oh, you're going sheephead.
All right, I'm all sure.
And spinning rods in the back of the boat.
Yeah. All right.
Jeepers, sheepers.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. And, you know, there's big females. I mean, there's a few around now, you know, but they should be still out there offshore reefs, you know.
Now, I've already been twice this year where I targeted them, and all the fish were small. So
oh, wow.
I haven't seen any big fish offshore yet this year.
What do you got in bait box?
Fiddlers.
Just fiddlers?
Well, fiddlers, and I'm going to stop. You know, if I'm out there, I'll jump out on East PV on the rock pile out there and get some sheep sea bass.
Good deal.
There's been some good sea bass around, too.
Well, good luck to you out there, and be careful. I sure appreciate your call, Chris. And as always, we'll promote this tournament right on up to the day, you know. So it's my favorite tournament. I mean, it's all, you know, the only one I fish. I mean, it is absolutely the only tournament I fish anymore.
Yeah.
And the Jacksonville Offshore Sport Fishing Club does such a great job in running this thing. I mean, it's just unbelievable how many boats y'all have in it, and it runs so smooth.
Yeah, you'll know what's going on, because they'll be parked all the way from the cruise boats all the way to the,
yeah.
the boat ramp.
Yeah, that's a fact.
So I want to let everybody know, get on www.elchipojacks. That's J-A-X, elchipojacks.com. Sign up for it and, you know, get your information or whatever you'd like to. And, Chris, again, thank you for the call. I appreciate it, and good luck to you today.
Yeah, y'all catch them up and be safe out there, Chris.
Have a good day,
guys.
Chris.
Enjoy it.
We'll see you.
Thank you, sir. And, 222-8255 is the number to call us. And, you know, talking about their sheephead, of course, that's one of my favorites. And, you know, we got a couple of big ones in the creeks yesterday. This is the time of year, usually around the end of December or whatever, we start catching some of them good 8-10 pounders in the creeks. especially if you have a nor'easter where it's going to flood the grass. But we just haven't seen that many of them in the creeks this winter yet. But hopefully that's going to change in the next week or two coming up. So we'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB.
Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning on the Still Just Fishing Show, and we got Taylor on. Morning, Taylor.
What's going on?
All right, we're talking morning. To you.
Taylor, you...
Last weekend, it wasn't that good.
Well, Taylor, the migratory robins are in town. I figured you'd have all the business you can handle with those robins flying all over and decorating everybody's rigs.
Yeah, I think it was Sunday while I went fishing, or Saturday. Yeah, it was Sunday I went fishing with my buddy out there in St. Augustine.
How'd you do?
It was horrible. I caught a bluefish. I was saying, man, if I could just probably catch a bluefish, you know, when you're wishing to catch a bluefish, you know the bite's slow.
Yeah, I can't remember. Let's see, Sunday. Oh, yeah, Sunday. I had three guys. Yeah.
I saw you guys some pretty good fish on Sunday.
Yeah, we got, I think it was 12 nice sheephead and 8 drum.
But Chip Davis, he went out and he didn't really catch anything either. He just said it wasn't a good day. But the reason why I was calling, because I was using a mirror lure out there, and I know when I fish it in the creeks, it always, like, goes down. It was a mirror lure MR-17. But where I was fishing in St. Augustine, it's a Volano Bridge. Then you go back over there in the boat ramp. You know where the bait shack is? The boat ramp on Volano Bridge out there?
Yeah,
like
okay.
Like, going over the bridge?
Yeah.
We went out from the Volano boat ramp, or Comanche Cove, and then we went across underneath that bridge, and then we were fishing over there by the Fountain of Youth and all that. We fished the edge, the grass, all the way to the back of that little tiny bridge over there, and then back. But that lure, it seemed like it wouldn't go down that far. Like in the creeks, you throw it, it'll go down a little bit, but it wouldn't go down that much in the ocean.
Salinity.
You think it's good? Salinity? That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Those higher salinity, they don't suspend that much.
Well, it's the salinity amount changes the buoyancy of all your lures. I mean,
that's what I figured, because I know when I was scuba diving in the ocean, you don't need that. You need a lot more weight, but that if you're in the fresh water, you don't need that much weight.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever seen pictures of people in the Dead Sea, it's weird because you can go in there and just sit up in the Dead Sea and be floating.
Oh, wow.
That's how much salt's in there.
Yeah, but we didn't catch anything.
You won't catch any fish there, though.
No, you won't catch any fish there. your hook will probably rust the first 5 minutes you're there.
Hey, I've seen pictures of whales there.
Really? Oh yeah, okay. Not the real whale.
He fishes with a lot of artificial, and he fishes like twice a week, and he was trying everything, and then on the way back he put a worm on. He's like, oh well, let me see if I catch a thing on this. It's for bass, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he caught a flounder on it. I couldn't believe it.
Oh yeah.
Flounder hit the artificial worm.
My dad and I, believe it or not, I mean, we, you know, my dad and I, when we fished like Lake Lotlusa, George's Lake, Crescent Lake, all those places like that. But so anyway, my dad just kept, you know, his tackle boxes in the boat when we were out there saltwater fishing. We were out there fishing one day, and we had run out of bait. And so my dad was like, I wonder if we could, you know, catch anything on this. So we used a little egg sinker and like a fish finder rig, like you would do, you know, a real light one like you would do for bass. And we started tearing up the trout. And so,
oh, really?
Yeah, and we caught a lot of speckled trout that day. Of course, back then you didn't have the limits, but, you know. But anyway, we caught a lot of speckled trout. And it was a motor oil-colored rubber worm, bass worm, just like you'd use in the lake.
Wow.
And then we went up in a creek one day and used the same lure to see what we could do for reds. And we actually caught some really nice redfish on them.
That's insane. You wouldn't think you would catch anything on worms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they look like an eel. Mm-hmm. Little small eel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep. And reds do love eels. They eat those little 6-inch. Yeah, they'll eat those 6-inch eels. I've had them, you know, cough them up in my boat and in my live well and stuff like that and in the cooler and things.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah,
well, I'm in Orlando this morning to go into this mobile tech expo for my business, so hopefully it'll be good.
Oh, we're good. Maybe you'll learn some more stuff and be able to do some more stuff.
I hope so. All right, well, I'll catch y'all later then.
All right, good luck. Be careful driving.
Thanks for calling, Taylor.
See you later.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Yeah, I mean, you know, fish is an opportunistic feeder. If they're going to see something moving around in there, I mean, you know. I mean, you think about the first artificial lures. I mean, I have an article here about, you know, the first artificial lures were used back in Roman times. Let's see. I forget what, here it is. In the Roman troops actually having written about catching trout in the mountains with flies they learned to tie from locals in what now is called Serbia. But there's ancient drawings and stuff of the pharaoh sitting next to a fish tank, dipping a line in the water with artificial lure.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's pretty neat, actually, when you think about that.
Yeah, somebody had to be the first and just try, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, and see if it works or not. That's That's how you...
Somebody's hungry.
Yeah.
If you're hungry, you try anything, get some food. That's what always gets me about these guys on Survivor. They're always next to the water. I mean, my gosh. You know, they're starving, just eating rice. I'm like, you got all this water there.
I know.
I mean, there's crabs and fish and everything, you know.
Talking about eels, I read an article where these old striper fishermen up north, New Jersey and stuff, they're mm-hmm. casting for stripers. They'd take an eel, skin it, and put it on a topwater lure.
Oh, wow.
You couldn't buy them in gas stations back then, but, you know, they'd actually put that eel skin over their topwater lures, and this, I guess the stripers would smell it, love it, hit it, and they were catching some monsters. That's some old pictures from the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Kobe will suck down a eel, too, you know.
So they'd take the hooks off, put it on, put the hook back on, you know, and that would hold the skin on.
Yeah.
So it was pretty interesting. Pretty neat. Yeah, it's interesting.
Y'all never caught any of those little snake-looking eels up in the river?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, along mm-hmm. with the, you know, they're kind of a winter time, I think, when the stingrays leave, that eels mm-hmm. take over.
Yeah, and sometimes you feel like you're hung up until you pull him up out of the mud.
Yeah.
Because they'll bury down in the hole. Mm-hmm. There's actually a couple of them living behind the dock at Sisters Creek. Huh. You know, there's also some of those, we used to call them shrimp mammies, but.
The mantis?
Shrimp, yeah, the mantis shrimp. There's a couple of those living in there, and sometimes I'll show the kids. You put a dead shrimp down there when you've got about four to 6 inches of water around there. There's big holes
mm-hmm.
behind the dock, you know, and you put a dead shrimp right there on a jig head, and you'll see him come up out of there, you know, and just kind of pull it away a little bit, and he'll come out a little bit further and a little further.
I got a video that actually has audio where they actually caught the audio of the impact that critter makes when he hits something.
Yeah, when he hits a crab shell, it's like a .22 caliber pistol going off.
Not going to be me.
Yeah. And let me tell you, when you do get one, like on a piece of shrimp, you're trying to show the kids at the dock, you throw him on the dock, don't grab him.
Oh.
They got spines all the way down each side of that thing and on top of the back. I mean, it'll cut you up, man.
Yeah. Same way with a Florida crawfish, a Florida lobster. Mm-hmm. If you look at his back, whenever you're grabbing them, even with gloves on, you always grab them up front, not near the back, because that tail is like a little buzzsaw on each side. Yeah, check one out, everyone. Next time you get a Florida lobster tail, check the edge of that shell up underneath the tail on each side. It's bad. Yeah, do not grab here.
And don't stick your finger in an octopus mouth, right?
Yeah,
they do have teeth.
Yeah, no, I was scared to death to grab that thing because I never caught an octopus before. But I'll tell you about cooking it. It was pretty interesting.
We come back, we'll hear about the recipe on cooking octopus. We'll be right back.